invisible race.
I write it against Stan Gore. And yeah. Small guy, you can't stand Brian just sitting next to me. I don't know who's this.
Someday they'll be on.
We'll just
you can write on it.
I got plenty of stuff.
Okay, is everybody ready? Is everybody ready?
We're ready, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening. I'd like to call the regular Committee of the Whole meeting to order at 6 p.m. First order of business, please, is roll call.
Councilpersons Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlowski.
Here.
Kolograph.
Here.
Spitznagel.
Here.
Thank you. Let the record also reflect that we have our law solicitor, Mr. William Mason, present, and tonight we have Mr. Vic Nagallo sitting in for Katie Iconis. She's on vacation. And we also have Angela in the audience as well for the finance department who can answer questions. Next order of business is order C, persons having business. Before we open the floor for any persons having business, we put a new cabinet on the wall over here. That's basically all the information each time between council meetings that the council members get. All your memos are posted over here now because I just want to make sure everyone understands that they do get tons of information. All the ethics books, everything that we've shared with council is on that wall right there, and the agenda's there. So we just thought that we'd make it more organized. I designed it and built it, and we put it together there this week. So it's just another project. We're just trying to make it more efficient. So at this time, we open the floor for any residents that would have any business before council at tonight's meeting. If you have the opportunity to come forward and speak, please give us your name and your address. Seeing none. Council residents, we do allow you to speak at every item on the agenda after the council has their opportunities. Next item is council comments. Is there any comments tonight? Mr. Lindo, you have any comments tonight?
I appreciate this great weather, Mayor. That's the only comment I have.
Mary Brenner Miller, do you have any comments tonight? Miss Allen, do you have any comments tonight?
Yes, Mayor. Recently, the journal came out, and on top of page 3, it says in bold letters, council meeting minutes are available in their entirety on the village website. The last 14 sets of meeting minutes are still not on there, one of them dating back to last March.
Okay. We'll look into that, and we'll get some answers. I know that there was an issue before, and we rectified it last year, I believe it was. So we'll check those and see what the problem is. I know the county does own our website, mm-hmm. and that's run through our county program, but we'll follow up tomorrow.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
No, I had several people that called me and asked me about the vehicle doing the study, you know, right now and stuff. I explained to them what I knew and if they, you know, needed to contact the village hall. So.
Yeah, you know that's a traffic camera count
mm-hmm.
right now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just the count.
That's all it is, yeah. There's no tickets being issued or anything like that.
In fact, I heard that tickets were being issued and somebody was complaining that they got a ticket for 11 miles. And I said, absolutely not. It's
Thank
only
you.
Supposed to be counting the vehicles
yeah.
at this point.
So you know the facts. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the facts on the drainage issue as well?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
I
so that's an issue that you understand how come we handle it that way.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Ms. Terlowski, any comments or questions?
I was just coming home today, and I saw the thing on Egbert for the traffic
yes,
cameras.
Yes,
they're up. The notices that we do have traffic cameras.
We're starting the process, and we have the signs posted. They're all posted, and I think we're going to put two more up by the Metro Park entrance on Egbert Road. Then we're more than efficient right now, and we have all that. And we also are putting together a map that shows the location of every camera and shows the location of all the signage, 35 miles an hour, and all the intersections, and that'll be on our webpage as well.
One more thing. Just to let you know that the 50-plus club, when they meet this month, our speakers will be the chief, our chief, and Nancy from our department here, and it'll be about traffic cameras. So one, if you have any questions along the way, at the meeting, they'll be there to answer them also.
Thank you. Mr. Kolograph,
any Mr. Comment? Mayor, no comments this time.
Mr. Spitznagel, any comments?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Council, next item on the agenda is item E. I did give you a memo providing about this discussion. We did a breakdown. We passed in December to allow the village to start charging for rubbish removal for our residents. Then there was discussion about a fee amount, and we needed to go to the utility companies to see if we could get the water company or the sewer district or someone to take this, and it was not enough money involved for any of them to want to take this task on, because they would like a long-term contract, and it's another process. So what we've decided to do is do it in-house through our tax department, through our finance department, and it comes out to $14 per home in the village of Walton Hills. I broke it down on the second page. Katie did this. 974 homes. And the annual cost for 2017 number was $154 per home. And it comes out to monthly cost $12.87. And we added 5% for the stamps and the envelopes and the invoice. And it comes, and we're only going to do it three times this year, one in April. We're going to do it quarterly. So this will be retro back, and the payment would be $42 on April 1st to our residents. The residents that do not participate or want to pay, we will keep track, and then we will just put it under our taxes for assessment next year. And then we'll turn it over in September for assessments. You know how we do in September for property delinquency and things like that, mm-hmm. in the month of September for the county to collect taxes the following year.
Is there an avenue for a penalty, yeah. or do we have to?
We never figured in a penalty or anything like that.
I would imagine if we would have to go through the trouble of filing it to put on somebody's taxes, that there should be a some sort of a penalty.
We can look and see what that
just
would be.
To keep somebody
we can offer
from
that. Yeah. We have draft legislation tonight. It's in your packet that I put in front of you that just says $14 per address. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So, Mayor, the collection's starting in April, so it's going to be in arrears a quarter, right?
Yes, we're going to retro to January.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Because we passed everything in 2017.
Sure. All right, thank you, Mayor.
Any other questions from council?
Yes, Mayor.
Wait till we're done, and I'll open the floor for residents. That's the process, okay, ma'am? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, well, Jennifer Allen just said
something. Oh, ahead, I'm sorry, Jennifer.
Good, ma'am.
First, I wanted to know, do we have any option for a resident to opt out in having their trash collected?
No.
Okay.
This is so you understand, we went out for bids with six other communities, I believe it was, and it's a consortium. And this is the way it is. All the other communities already charge. We're the only community that doesn't charge.
Mm-hmm.
And the contract is still good for two more years. And this is where this came from, is when we talked about the income tax increase and we talked about all these police levy and everything else. We tried to say that this is an option that we could use to save, you know, save the village from the revenue. And this is where we've been. And we've talked about it all through 17. And here we are in 18. And this is council's option of what they want to do. I know that we have agreed that we've done everything we can on our side to sell the police levy or sell the operations of the village. And we're working with the same contract that we negotiated with the six communities.
Okay, I could understand that. But we have already taken away several years ago the sewer payments for the residents. Now the residents are in charge of or responsible for the storm and sanitary sewer maintenance. The village is no longer providing that service for the village, for the residents. And how do you determine, what about an empty home? The property taxes, they're having no garbage picked up whatsoever, so that empty home is going to be assessed their property taxes.
Mr. Nagala, you want to answer?
Okay, basically ordinance is written now that all residential properties will be assessed that. The truck goes down the street, everyone has two cans, the service is provided. Whether or not you're a snowbird, whether the house is vacant, you'll have, if somebody wants to opt out, they'll probably take their trash somewhere else, maybe put in their neighbor's trash. So this prevents it from being consistent with many other cities who incorporate this refuse assessment. All residential properties get charged that assessment.
Okay, so it's not going to matter even if somebody only uses their garbage can once a month compared to
the service.
89-year-old, you know,
no, it doesn't, because I only,
a family of eight.
I only use it once every 2 weeks because it
was never me, it was never so. Bid out that way. They go by tonnage. That's where this price yeah. came from. That's where the whole process was.
Yeah. We all get charged the same.
Everyone in Bedford gets the same price. And I know there's a lot of rental properties and senior homes and stuff like that in Bedford, and they kept the same firm price across the board. Theirs is $20.
I just don't agree that a home that's empty you're going to be assessing, they've had no garbage pickup. There's several homes in the village that I know of for over a year have been empty. They've had no garbage pickup whatsoever. And now those property tax is going to be assessed a fee for something that hasn't been used for the past year and is not going to be used for an unknown amount of time.
I understand your concern because you live next door to a house that's empty. I understand that.
Thank you for making that public knowledge now.
Well, I thought everyone knew that. I'm sorry. Would you want to say something, Mr. Mayor?
Well, also, they pay property tax the little property tax that goes to the city. They're paying for police and fire protection, so the house is still empty, and they're still paying a property tax. So, again, the service is available to all residential properties. In other cities where there's duplexes, somebody could articulate that, okay, one unit is lived in, the other unit is just for storing their furniture, so fine, you can maybe do a pass on that, but all properties that are residential will at least have one assessment to them.
Okay, so just last question. So the residential property that the village owns, we're going to be paying.
What residential property we own?
The building that's right next to the community center.
We are going to sell that. If you'd like for us to pay the $28 till we sell it,
no,
we'll
I'm
it.
Asking because you're saying that this is on every
yes.
residential
yes.
property.
Yes, that
so
will
that
be assessed.
I don't think we don't pay yes. taxes on that property because we're not taxed.
And there's a valid question. I've had a resident ask me, is this one, the village owns it, but are they going to have to pay the fee? So.
And the council agreed to sell it this year.
Will that go through the CIC?
Yeah, CIC,
okay.
Yeah.
And just so you know, it's $40 a quarter or more in Macedonia. So it's expensive for garbage pickup there, besides all the other services they have. So we're on the low end.
Well, this is $42 a quarter.
Well, I think it's going up to $42 over there because that's what I heard. It was going to go up. So we're
Home
average.
Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
No, go ahead.
In thinking about this, too, you mentioned the consortium that we're in. We were able to get basically the cheapest rate because we were in that consortium. The option for letting people opt in and opt out and do their own thing is everybody has their own contract with their garbage collection fee, and we just wipe our hands of it all together. And I would be willing to bet if on an individual basis it would be double. It's $14 a month at least. So for the relatively few, we have to make decisions here based on the entire village, not on one or two or three or four properties, residential properties that may get caught up into this. I got a house in my family that's not lived in right now. Too bad. That's just the way it is. I understand that the concern, though. I just can't, and I've thought about that, I just can't figure a way of easily rectifying that situation. And as the mayor said, I don't know of any other community that assesses for garbage that allows you to do it on an individual basis. It's you pay it or you pay it. One or the other.
Pay it one way or the other.
Yeah. So,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Conley.
When we did talk about this earlier, and I remember you making a statement, and we talked about that if we did, because some people said, "Well, I only have one bag. You might have two or three. Can we be assessed according to how much garbage?" And you said, "If you do try to enter into an agreement, that it's a lot more expensive, so everybody would pay because who's going to manage that?" Okay, who's going to drive around and manage how many bags you put out, how many bags you don't? There's a fee for that. And that fee would raise, I think, what did we say? There was only maybe one community in Cuyahoga County or something, and so all the residents get passed on a lot. It's almost, double or something like that to do that. So when you enter into these consortiums, it's a straight fee and... That's how it is. So I know that we had some discussion on that. That's the problem. Who's going to manage it? Who's going to drive around? You got to pay for that. We certainly wouldn't be able to afford it here with our service department. Our service department is down to bare bones, and we're going to be looking at this budget. I know me and Mr. Spitznagle talked today quite a bit, and the message was told to us, balance the budget, which the means you have. And that's, so that's what we're doing. And some of these things, rubbish collection, the sewer, are some of those avenues to balance the budget. The sewer, that was a perk. I enjoyed it for 22 years. I was very fortunate. But we couldn't maintain it. I think we're the only city in Cuyahoga County, I think, is Cuyahoga Heights, because they have the sewer plant. And so there, the theory was there, what was told to the council people would tell their residents, well, you're getting compensated for the smell. And there's some truth to that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been in Cuyahoga Heights, there's some days when that smell is terrible. You're in your backyard cooking, and it smells, you know, like a sewer.
Good tomato plants.
What's that?
Good tomato plants.
Yeah. We took that away because we couldn't maintain it anymore. We had to lower the budget and just couldn't do it. Our expenditures are exceeding our revenues, and it's because of the business. It's the bottom line. It's just the way it is. So we're going to continue, as the mayor has and his council, to continue to get some economic development. And I know you got some good things to talk about. I cringe at paying this. I cringed at paying the water bill. I'll go home. I'll get this bill. My wife will say, "I can't believe you voted for that." But if I do what's right for the village, I have to vote for it. We can't let the village go defunct.
Ditto.
Mr. Mayor.
Gloria, you want to say something?
Yes, talking about the garbage trucks. There are communities where people do pay, you know, pick their, you know, contractor, whoever they're going to pick up their garbage. But do you want to see five garbage trucks driving through the village, picking up for different people? You know, waiting behind the trucks now is a safety hazard. But when you have numerous ones riding around this village, it just doesn't work. If they don't pay the trash in that, it will go on their property tax. A lot of people like to take that off. But Angela can tell you, too, that's not legal. So if you don't pay and that goes on to your assessment for your taxes, you cannot deduct that from your local tax. Because it's not legal. So a lot of people tried to do that. In fact, a councilman did that in another community where I used to work. That's why I know. My last question is, with the fees for the 64 cents administrative and the postage, when they start collecting it on their bill, will that drop off? It won't be. It's just be while we're doing it.
Do you know the answer to that? Okay, yes, Mr. Nagala.
You're talking about when they put it on their county property tax bill.
Correct.
It'll be 1%. The county assesses 1%. So if it's, what is it, 14 times 6 each half?
I'm talking about, we have postage on there.
Right. We have to send out envelopes. But when the county collects it, it'll only be a 1% tack on. So if it's $150 on the county property tax bill, they'll charge $1.50. That's it for the whole year as far as the collection fee.
So it will drop down from
it will drop.
It'll probably go to $13.
For trash only, yes.
Okay.
That's the great part about going through the county. It's only 1%.
So then it will come down
significantly.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
The sewer bills, that continued on after 1982, and 1982 is when we got our sewers completely fully installed, okay? And we paid sewer bills from that point up to, I think, 2008, which would make up about 26 years. That was tuned out to $6 million over that period that the village paid out on behalf of residents. That could not be continued. Okay, that had to be changed. That's why I was one of the leaders, okay? If you want to blame somebody for that, blame me. Because I led that charge to get the sewer bills paid by the residents. It was our bill. It was my bill. It was Bill Deek's bill, okay? It was your sewer bill. It wasn't the village's bill. It was the Bill Deek's bill, and it was Denny Glenville's bill, and Ed Pollock's bill, okay? So that's why that was done, All right, pure and simple. Thank you, Mayor.
Council, can I open it up to the residents now?
Sure.
Any residents who'd like to come forward, please state your name and your address, and we'll try and answer your questions. Or we'll listen to your concerns.
Sandy Fitzpatrick, 7490 Walton Road. I haven't been a resident of this city quite as long as some of you, but long enough to know that this is getting way out of line. Okay, it was always the fault of business. Everything is because Ford left and this company left. It's not like you didn't see that coming. Okay, fine, we'll take on the sewer bills. We didn't pass your levy because it was ridiculous. It didn't get voted on. Get over it, grow up, and work with the money you have. You keep taking away from the residents, you're not going to get any. And you want to go after business, for what? I own a business in this town. You don't make it easy on us. We already pay for our garbage. You think your personal sewer bills are bad? You should pay our business. It's ridiculous. We went from paying $35 a quarter to over $165 a quarter. You know, maybe insignificant to some people, but it's not $9 per household on a business. You can't keep coming to the people and coming to the business and try and get people to come into this town if you're going to keep taking away. You spend all that money to buy that church and renovate it, and oh, it's going to support itself. How much is it rented out? Is it even advertised that it's for rent? It's not even open most of the time. Maybe 4 days a week, maybe you can get somebody to answer the phone. It's not supporting itself, is it?
Yes, it is, ma'am. If you would like for me to go into details, I will.
It is totally self-sufficient.
This year, it cost us $24,400 for the mortgage. We pay a lady $1,400 a month, $1,200 a month. That's $14,000 a year to operate it. And then the utilities are $11,000. So if you do the math, it's about $56,000 for the whole operation for 1 year. We have it rented out until the middle of 19. We made $67,000 on that facility already. Would you like to see the numbers? We'll do that. I was going to do it at State of the Village, but we have the facts on it.
I think that that should be open knowledge to the village.
Well, we're just now doing the book. We haven't been open 1 year yet. It opened in May.
Well, yeah. I don't drive by there often, but I never see anybody there. And the few times that I've tried to call, they don't even answer the phone.
We have no one employed there on Fridays, but we do have a person that answers the phone 24 hours a day. That's what that $1,200 is. It's a party center place out of Twinsburg that runs it. Her name is Sandy Green. You can call the village hall. They'll give you the contact. She'll come to the village. She's been there at 11 o'clock at night with the police to show the hall. But it's already leased out for 60 times in 2018. There's 52 weeks in a year.
Well, at least you did something. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Fitzpatrick, I understand your concern. And it wasn't our levy, believe me. That was a very hard thing to put on there. It was our levy. It's a village levy. I'm a resident just like you, okay? I pay the same bills. I don't enjoy them either. It's just the way it is. But I also understand the finances of the village. And we have cut the budget, okay? We continue to cut the budget. But at the same time, we can't cut it so bad that this village isn't a nice place to live and isn't desirable for you, for me, for everybody in this room. You still want to maintain a viable village at the same time, okay? It's for the well-being of all of us. It's for the well-being of the village. Okay, there's a balance there, and it's very hard. It's like trying to balance, you know, keep your house going when your expenditures are exceeding your revenues. You try to cut back as much as you can, but if you got a hole in the roof, you have to fix it. okay? There's certain things you have to do. And that's where we're at. We're at the point with the roads. We have no capital right now in for the roads. But we know we just can't continue to let the roads go because that steamrolls too. You know, there's certain things you have to do. And we've done some of those things, and that puts us in a deficit. But we also know we have to maintain the well-being of the village. We have to maintain the infrastructure. It's, believe me, it's not an easy thing to do. This job is a lot harder than me going to work every day because I am accountable right to everybody right here, okay? You talk to anybody that's in politics, they say your local politics is your toughest thing. When I go home, my neighbors tell me things just like you're telling me. They're my neighbors, okay? And I have to explain to them why we do certain things. But I can tell you this, and I feel this council, this mayor, things we have done, we feel they're the best interests of all of us. Okay, I can tell you that for myself. I don't want to pay these bills any more than anyone else. But I think for the well-being of the village, there are certain things we have to do. Mr. DeGallo is going to give a presentation tonight. He wants us to increase the inside millage. I've been adamant about that, okay? He's a fiscal officer, knows the numbers real well. He's been telling us that. I have friends that have said, Don, just, you know, raise that inside millage. You know, you're doing this, doing that, you know, it's not easy. I mean, I just want to explain that to you. We're trying to make the best decisions. When it comes to people's money, they stink. Believe me, I was on council. It was a lot easier when we had the Ford plant up there. Part of the sewer was because the Ford plant left. That was a big hit for us. And you say, the business are important. They are. They're our thing. We did what we could. Our house, we did what we could. We offered them a better deal than they got out there. We didn't have the land. We just didn't have it. We had no choice. They moved. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's all.
The mayor.
Well, they're not excuses. Ma'am, I'm just explaining it to you.
Mr.
Mr.
Collingraph.
I know. I don't want to debate.
Yeah, we don't want to debate, but I would have no problem sitting down with you, Katie, our fiscal officer, or even Mr. DeGallo to go over the books with anybody here.
We'll offer public.
To anybody. It's all public. We'll show you where we've cut. We've show you what we've done, the operations where we've downsized our employment. I'll show you all those. I went to your office when you had concerns, if you remember, and I was trying to provide you with information at that time. Obviously, I didn't convince you. You didn't vote for the levy. I understand that. I respect that. But we also said, just like anything else, these are the options. These are the options. We're down to 10 police officers. We had 16 at one time. We're down in a lot of things. We're down in our employment. We're still keeping everything going. Still got the roads plowed. So there's a lot of things. I don't know if you ever drove on Dunham Road. All these council members have already complained about Dunham Road. That's going to be a major repair. It's probably going to be in the millions. And guess what? We don't have that in our budget. Where are we going to get that million? We're going to borrow it. We're going to pay an interest rate. And guess what? It's going to go on the village's assessment to the residents if we don't pay those bills. So these are the things happening. But I don't want to get into debate with you. I just said, if you want to take time, we will make sure that we educate you enough that you at least make an educated decision. Okay? Because that building is rented. And that building has benefited our village. 60 times in 2018, and what I understand, I think they're into May of 2019. With people with weddings and birthday parties and things of that nature.
Mayor,
Mr. Limbo, let's not debate, okay?
I'm not going to debate, Mayor. I think that building's one of the best investments that we've made, and I'm very proud to say that I voted and supported that as well. Could you refresh me, though, Mayor, on how much money Ford and our house was paying us?
Mr. DeGallo can refresh
you. Yeah, could you just refresh?
Well, yes.
Yes, Mr.
Thank you. Actually, before Ford, there was Benvenu that really hit Bedford, but they had a facility in our town also,
right,
and that was significant. That was easy six figures on Benvenu. Then Ford, which used to give us at one time $1.6 million a year. You go back to 2005, 2004, when the 2% tax was in effect. 1.6. I don't know how you replace that. And that's why the village had 0.3 mils of income tax. I guess she doesn't want to hear my detailing. Okay. how do you replace 1.6 million for a little village? And a lot of people said if we had a bond rating in our heyday when we had $10 million and the Ford plant here, they would not have rated us well because all our eggs were in one basket. We were very vulnerable. They like to see that it's not based on one entity. Now, this village is not based on one entity. We have a lot of other industry and all that. And then let's go further. I mean, our house. Our house, that brought in on payroll tax alone about $500,000. Yes, Bedford Schools did tap into that a little bit, unfortunately, but there's $500,000. And now we have Manaway. Manaway is also six figures as far as payroll tax. How do you replace that in a small village? And again, the only reason we had 0.3 mills is because we had these large businesses. And you can't tax people if you got all this money coming in from the private businesses. That's why it was 0.3 mills. And we even went further. We paid sewer bills. I mean, yeah. Unheard of. Unheard of. So, again, all our eggs were in a couple baskets, and here we are. And now that those glory days, you know, I don't want to say they're gone, but the residents have to pick up the slack now in paying property tax. Not even to the average of what a municipality pays in Cuyahoga County. The average municipality assesses about 10 mills. 10 mills, and we'll talk about it later. All we're asking is go to 3.88 mills, which is about 30 or 40% of the median in Cuyahoga County. We're still well below the average municipal property tax in Cuyahoga County if we were to go to 3.88.
Okay. Okay, did you get your answer,
Thank
Mr. Lindell?
Yes, thank
yes.
you very much.
Sure. Any other questions or comments from council members? Any questions from the audience? Council members, for this rubbish collection, we'll put it on the agenda for next week. If there's any other questions or any other comments, I know Mr. Mason wanted to modify it because... go ahead, Mr. Mason, if you want to tell him what you want to modify.
Yeah, I apologize. I was trying to do this over my phone, so I missed some pieces, but I would just want to amend some of the language. One of them is in section 1060.02B, the last, I wasn't positive whether the village had multiple dwelling units here. I understand now that you don't, so I'll take that out for the next meeting, and I'll completely delete paragraph C also. And I'll make sure that I wasn't positive about us putting the assessments on the tax duplicate, so I'll add language that allows that to happen.
Okay, so with council's permission, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll put it on for next week. Next item on the agenda is Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals. Mr. Mason also made modifications. You do have a draft of that. That draft is basically talks about fees to cover the cost for a planner to come in for overlay zoning, and also if we need legal counsel or if we need legal counsel for Zoning Board of Appeals issues, we have a leverage in this new ordinance to pass that on to the developer or pass it on to whoever's asking for the variance, and we didn't have that language in there before. So that's what this is about. And we discussed this when we passed the overlay zoning. So if you have any questions, Mr. Mason, if you want to talk about it, sir.
I just, Mr. Mayor, yes. I just have one question. Just so I just read this really quickly because this was on our
well, you just got it today,
thing. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the last two items here, the fee for filing the appeal and the fee for filing an application to the Planning Commission, they're both set at $150. That, well, let me see, this should be added. So those, if you go to an appeal, and this is just for the businesses, I'm taking other than the Country Home District.
Yes.
If you go for an appeal, the fee is $150. Now, if you have to call in, we have to call
another
the planner.
Meeting. Another meeting, and we have the
planner.
Mr. Smerigan come or something.
Then you're going to get charged the another $150 for, is that how it goes, or does that original $150 cover him or a planner?
Yeah. So for any application you'll make to the village, it'll be a $150 fee to make the application. For everybody other than the residents.
Okay.
So the businesses would pay that. And then if they're required to have a planner, come in and look over plans and work to it. It will be $150 an hour for that planner's time.
Okay, and that's on an as-needed basis.
Yes, as needed,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we just want to make sure we didn't need the calls.
Sure.
Yeah. Any other
questions? How do I become a planner?
Mr. Mayor, what was that fee in the past? I'm trying to find it from the last memo that we had with all of the fees listed. Or was that the appeal? Was there no fee at that time?
First, for a Board of Zoning appeal, it was $75. Mm-hmm. I could not find a fee for the Planning Commission at all.
Yeah, so I was just trying to
I didn't see
go through here, and I didn't see it.
And we have a Chapter 208, which is the general fee schedule. I didn't see it in there, so it could be somewhere else in the code. I could not find it, so I wanted to cover that. And then the fee, for the engineer or the architects or the planner, previously, the language in Section 2 wasn't really clear. Mm-hmm. It says something to the fact that at the time of filing an application, there's going to be an individual basis at a per-hour rate set by the building department. So we set a fee.
And it just completely covers Mr. Smirigan then?
Yes.
His
yes.
cost.
Any other questions or comments, council members? I'll open it up to the audience. Seeing none. This is opening up to audience item F, Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals fees. Since we addressed the overlay zoning for the Village of Walton Hills, we felt it was very accountable for us to make sure we change our ordinance to cover the fees for those planners and engineers and architects, so the village didn't have to pay for those fees on the front end for those activities to take place. Is there any questions or comments from the audience? Seeing none. Council members, I'll place this on next week's agenda as well, so we have it to, in case there's any questions come up over the week. So with that being said, I'm going to go with item G. Council members, each one of you have a budget in front of you. It's a proposed draft budget. I did highlight, I'll just read the highlight of the bullet points that show what we have in this budget in front of you. This budget proposed does include the sale of our old service garage, West Creek Road, which was accomplished through the CIC. And, you know, there's a period for phase one and phase two, but that's all moving forward with the Cajun Trucking. And that's a $200,000 surplus to our village for towards the budget. The budget does not reflect any of the new businesses that are relocating in the village. We currently have three empty buildings in the Village of Walton Hills. We did have more. Of the three, two are under contract. The R House Furniture larger building is right now under contract for discussion with investors. And the other one that shows up on Jobs Ohio is the Todd Industry Building, 7300 Northfield Road. That's under contract. In fact, that's the MasTec that came in there. So what we have empty right now is Fred's Auto Body, which is still in the court system about getting cleaned up. That's the one on the corner of Crick Road and Northfield Road. On Jobs Ohio, they do show the old weather type building, which is the old Narandex building on Crick Road. That facility is 72% occupied. It's all warehousing, if everyone remembers, has a low roof. That's what's on Jobs Ohio for square footage. It's available for, you know, leasing. And those are the three buildings that we have on records. There are some private little buildings in the village that belong to people that don't want to sell them. We can't force them to sell. There are some empty buildings over there by West Creek Road that Walton Plastics purchased. It used to be part of Don Shumay's operation with the battery, Akron Battery. But that's an empty building. If someone can say it's empty, but it's not, because Walton Plastics bought it to expand their building. It ties into Hanna Parkway, and it also runs into West Creek Road. So we have future plans for that. If everybody remembers, we are projecting to redo West Creek Road with a brand-new boulevard and stuff there. That's one of our projections. The budget does not reflect any of the capital projects, such as the roads, road repairs, nor does it reflect any of the equipment for 2008, such as police cars, service trucks, or any recreational buses. If we get the grant, then we will be obligated for 20%, which is equates to approximately $20,000. If you remember, we did talk about this. If we do get the grant, are we can make the commitment to purchase our share of the bus or not. That's totally on council's behalf. The budget does not reflect projected corner of does project Alexander and Northfield Road. That is in the budget, the $490,000. It is in the budget. That's for the traffic lights and the new turning lanes, because we're obligated with that with the grant money that we received with that matching funds, 50-50. Please remember, we did get $250,000 from the county for Alexander Road, from Northfield Road to Walton Road, and this is to be rebuilt and resurfaced. And we've also received a notification of a low interest rate if we do decide to go forward. This is not reflected in the budget because we don't have those numbers. We have also estimated a collection on the traffic cameras of only $100,000. We were very conservative with that number. We are very confident that it will be higher than that, but we wanted to be conservative on the number. This is reflected in the budget. And we do have in the budget reflected for the rubbish removal for the residents. That's reflected in the budget. And we need to take into consideration of reducing the late contract percentage. We've paid in 2017 $20,000 for our Lake Club contract, for our Parker programs and our recreation programs. And we've kept the same rate since 2010, $20,000. So I gave you examples of what 20%, 15%, and 10% would look like. This is a draft, notes and suggestions to help you reflect the different options for 2018. I have also requested that our village engineer attend the next COW meeting at 6 o'clock to talk about the capital projects and the costs. Please ask any questions next week when the fiscal officer is back from vacation. And at that meeting we should have more projections and better details of the fiscal officer to answer at that meeting. So this is just a projection, council. I ask you to review it for a week. So next week we can go over it in more detail, and if we have to have more meetings, we'll have more meetings. But this is a budget, a balanced budget that I'm giving to you right now. Any questions or comments on that? I'll want some other information. Okay. Council, we have a planning commission meeting from the CIC meeting last week. Daycar Studios LLC, a production company for entertainment business, is building a new building on Northfield Road right beside MPK. There is no address for that property. That's the property we got from First Energy, that 2.5 acres. They are scheduled for Thursday at 6 o'clock for Planning Commission. They do have some elevations. Mary has a copy of it. She is on Planning Commission. And the engineers have already reviewed it, so there's a lot of notes with it and stuff. On Wednesday, March 7th, is a Women's Club Soups On event at the community building. Starts at 4 o'clock, goes to 7 o'clock. They are taking donations, and please come and enjoy and support the Women's Club. On Monday, next Monday, the 12th, at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers, I'll be hosting once again Coffee with the Mayor at 7 p.m. We had about 10 people at the last meeting. We'll probably have the same group. I don't know. Everyone's welcome. It is in the journal. On March 13th, 6 p.m., we'll be having our second COW meeting for the month. Senior lunch is on the 26th in the Community Center. And on Tuesday, the 27th, we'll be talking about the state of the village, and that's at the community center at 6 p.m. So if we have to have special meetings for the budget, you know, I'd like to keep the 27th open. That's a Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month, for the state of the village.
You said that was at 6 o'clock?
At 6 o'clock, yeah. Council members, I just put out a memo yesterday or the other day. It was in my system, and I didn't print it, but it was from February 30th. I met with Mr. Mason and legal counsel from other legal teams and talked to several other communities, and I signed the village on for an opiate lawsuit for them to do the case. There's no cost to the village. And what we're doing is all these communities are getting together, like Mike DeWine's doing about the opiate and the drug thing, just similar to what we did with the, what was done with the tobacco lawsuit, where the pharmaceuticals have to start giving some kind of money to our police department or our safety forces because we're getting overwhelmed. Walton Hills has had some cases in the village, residents and just drive-by people that have been overwhelmed with opiates.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
On that note, are we still receiving the NARC cans from
UAS?
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not paying for them yet?
We're not paying for them yet, but I do know, like, Cleveland's paying for them. I do know that Garfield's paying for them, and it's substantial. It's like $25,000.
Oh, yeah, right.
We're not paying for ours because they gave us a bunch of samples and a bunch of free things. But we've had, I think it was 7 cases that I know of in 2007 where they did use the NARC cans.
And in 17, you mean?
Or 2017. And in 2018, I think we've been told it's 3 so far. It's getting bad because they are parking in our industrial area and overdosing. There is residents in this village that struggle with their children, and there's issues where we've had to revive children. So there's a lot of things going on that you and I can't control.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
At lunch today, I had lunch with a correction officer, and we were just talking about opiates and things like that. One Oxycontin on the street is $50. One pill, $50. Wow. Heroin is $10. So guess what? Heroin is so cheap. Five times for an Oxycontin. So it's easy to get. It's easy to pay for, and it's killing our kids and adults.
It's sad. Also, Council, I want you to remember that I did give you the budget for overview of the water department that came across my desk yesterday and last Friday, and I gave it out to everyone. And then I just want to follow up with the CIC. The CIC, we created more jobs with both agreements, 20 new jobs with Cajun Trucking, LLC, and possibly 10 with Daycar, LLC. We are also in start process of cleaning the gateways up of our community with this CIC. We're able to bring investors to start construction as well as more employment, and we provided an opportunity to allow our investors to consider growth with the softening of the industrial area where the concrete was being crushed. Everyone knows the story. Everyone knows everything. Just for the audience record, we negotiated a contract to sell our service garage on West Creek Road and 7 acres. And in that process, we also negotiated with the concrete company located on Northfield Road to move all their rock crushing and all their wall and everything by the Ward's Bridge there back to Creek Road and then turn that into green space and plant trees. We have a development agreement, and this has all been talked about since 2013, if everybody remembers that. And Bedford has a landfill back there. It's 19 acres, and we were trying to find a way to use that 19 acres unsuccessfully at this time, but we're still working on trying to redevelop that and bring in more revenue there. So anybody that's familiar with Creek Road, West Creek Road, it's a really rough, abandoned industrial area that's never been maintained. And what we're going to do, or what our attempt is to dedicate it and then assess all the property owners and rebuild that road back to an industrial grade and make it to the fire trucks can turn around at the cul-de-sac. So that's what our goal is. The council's been fully aware of this. We've been talking about it since little late 16 or all of 17, we talked about it, showed maps, everybody's understanding what we're trying to do here, and we couldn't do it without your cooperation. This village couldn't move forward without all of you, and all of you gave us a 6-0 vote, so I greatly appreciate that. That does make a big difference. Any questions for me? Any questions from anybody? Okay, so we're going to, all the things that I've given you will be on next week's agenda as well, and we'll have the engineers first to talk about road programs. So everyone's aware of it. We did apply for a grant for the recycling. We did receive $2,700 for that. Remember, it was a $5,000 grant. They gave us $2,700. Most of that will be used for our Walton Hills Journal for advertising of recycling, and the rest will be used for the shredding program. Everybody understands what we're trying to do there. We won't know until July about the senior bus, and we won't know about the state grants that we applied for the recreation. We have not heard yet official notification or anything like that. Okay. With that being said, can I have a motion for adjournment tonight? What? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Nagala wants to talk about inside millage. I'm trying to get out of here.
I was going to say something. That spiel you gave earlier, or is that it? I was kind of
I was trying to get out of here. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Nagala.
Just three pass outs today. I don't want to bombard people, but I want to update council on the property tax environment in Walton Hills. The first thing I passed out, I had Lisa go to the county internet, and the public can also go there, and get all 59 communities in Cuyahoga County, what they receive in property tax for the last 2 years, and that's last year, 2017 collection year, and you can see all the cities initially, then it's all the villages and the two townships at the bottom. The property taxes on the left. Then also, property tax is not enough for these cities and villages. They also have to have special assessments. And just to pick on a city, if you go to Parma, you'll see special assessments for $5,272,000, sort of responsible for that one. About $4 million of that is for refuse collection.
Wow.
Also in Parma Heights, right below, $800,000 is for refuse. Olmsted Falls, where I'm right at right now, $1,008,000 in that special assessments column, that is about $600,000 for refuse. They also have a assessment for shade tree and assessments for street light. So you can, you know, and street lighting also is in Parma, I think, for $700,000 or $800,000. And that's been since the 80s, at least. So there's all the communities, property tax, special assessments, and then the total, they're hitting every property owner. And in some cases, it's not every property owner. There could be a street improvement where the assessment is, because if they say they're going to pave a street, they'll assess only those property owners. But that in total is what's on the property tax bill. And this is only coming to the city. This doesn't include the school, what the school is receiving, the county, metro parks, and all that. It's just the city. And then on the right-hand side, that's the prior year in 2016 collection. And if you look at Walton Hills down below, you'll see our $41,000 in property taxes. And last year, actually, we did have an assessment for $1,730. That is for the grass cutting. When we notice high grass unkept, we will send them a notice. They can cut their grass or they can ignore us, and then we'll send somebody to cut it. We'll send them a bill. If they don't pay it, it'll go on a property tax bill as an assessment. And there were no assessments in 2016. But the bottom line of this is how little property tax we receive. And in addition, all cities have an income tax. All cities except Hunting Valley, which is the only city or village in the county that can incorporate an income tax, but doesn't. Now,
Mr. Nagala, can
yes.
I just interrupt for
go
a minute? You mentioned those three communities, but those communities are large cities that don't really compare. I just want to point this out. Could you talk about Valley View there, which is probably one of the closer communities to us? It's right next to us. Plus the demographics and kind of this lot size and stuff, it would mirror us closer than the three communities you mentioned. Could you kind of go through how they compare to us there?
Yeah. The property tax for Valley View, almost $1.1 million.
That's what they collect from their residents and their businesses.
And businesses.
And businesses.
And there's a third one, the public utilities. There's three
entities. Right.
And we'll get into the valuations in a moment.
So they're collecting $1 million, we're collecting $41,000.
$41,000. And then if you want me to talk about the other three communities.
We'll go through this. Just go through this line here.
Let's go to the other ones in our school district.
Well, here, let's finish Valley View.
Okay,
now, you got the 137. What is that? That's the
assessment.
That's an assessment.
That's assessment.
So they have $137,000 in assessment, which is, isn't it, what is that? I think that's trash for them.
I'd have to look at specifically what Valley View's assessments are.
So they have 130, we had that 1700 that we assessed those properties that didn't cut their grass.
And that's rare. We
had no choice.
You get zero.
We're trying to keep it nice. I mean,
so if we do incorporate, and we're not incorporating the assessment for refuse, in future years, that's where it would appear the refuse assessment would be under that column.
And it would be similar to their 137.
If that's what they're assessing for.
Well, right? No, but I'm just saying the amount.
It would be in that column, yes.
In that, correct.
Yes.
I just wanted to make, because the other communities, when you say it really isn't apples, that.
If you want.
Apples,
if
you know
you
what
want,
I mean.
I'd like to go right at the top, the third and fourth community. I wish the audience had, I should make many more copies of this after the meeting. I can make copies for anyone who's interested. But Bedford and Bedford Heights, they're city millage. City millage is over 20 mils. Over 20 mils. Ours is 0.3. They're 60 times more in their property tax rate than we are. And they're getting, Bedford's getting 4.6, 4.7, and Bedford Heights 4.7. And in addition, Bedford is assessing $1,185,000 on top, and Bedford Heights little on the assessment is $28,000. So those two neighboring communities, $5,800,000. $4,800,000, same school district.
Can I stop just to interrupt you for one thing, Mr. Mayor? And in this, you're including the businesses plus the residential property tax.
And public utilities.
Okay. So when you say we're collecting $41,000 in property tax, that's including our businesses too.
Everyone.
Okay.
Every property owner in this.
So when you take a community like Valley View, which has businesses and residents similar to ours, and they're collecting $1.8 million, it's hard to say that we're not, and you look at all these numbers, that we're definitely not business friendly to our businesses. Because our property tax, which they pay, which is a bill for them, is the lowest in Cuyahoga County. Is that not correct?
Or not only Cuyahoga County, I'd like to go all throughout Ohio. Maybe in the universe. I don't know.
No, but the only thing we assess our business owners
is 0.3 mils.
Is property tax.
Yeah.
Besides payroll tax, which employees would pay no matter what.
Right. It's a big asset. That's why.
So to say, my point is, when it comes to property tax, we are the friendliest community to a business.
It's an asset.
Yes. I just wanted to make that point.
All right, next thing I want to pass out is where we sit on evaluations. Sorry about the small print here, but I wanted to squeeze all 59 communities. And something that just happened with Walton Hills that I just noticed. And let me walk you through this. Here's, again, the 59 communities. If people need to put their reading glasses on, fine.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. As you mentioned, Mr. Kolograph, there's three columns there. You know, you see the cities, but then there's the first column, agricultural residential. That's the residential property values. Okay, and you look at Walton Hills, we have, and I can't even see, $64 million of assessed valuation. That's 35% of the value of our homes, is that $64 million. Our businesses are valued, the 35% valuation is $35 million, and our public utilities $31 million. And let me pass out who our public utilities are. You gotta go deep into the county records for this. You need passwords to get this information. There you go. Two more. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, maybe you can expound on that while you're passing the paper about if the levy would have failed, how much we would have collected from the utilities from that.
And I will get to that.
Okay.
Last year's levy was $5 million, but I will have the number for you for the 3.88.
But utilities values have went up so tremendously, it would be a huge number now.
Now, that what I just went through on that small sheet, that was the value back in 2015, 2016. That The county updates their values every 3 years. And actually, it's really a true update every 6 years. It's called a sexennial appraisal. But in between the 6 years, they do an update. So basically, every 3 years, they go and update the values. That last one that they did in 2015 tax year, collection year 2016, a lot of communities decreased. Property values went down, especially the inner ring suburbs. Even Walton Hills went down in value. But that didn't, it went down 3%. Doesn't matter. You're only collecting $40,000. Okay, so you lost a few hundred bucks. But for other cities like a Euclid, Euclid, a 20% decrease in their values.
Highland Hills, 15%.
Highland Hills. Maple Heights. That's the one. That's double digits, about 11%.
Garfield, 16%.
Newburgh Heights, 14%, and all that. Now that was probably the last update that had a decrease. We're feeling the next one is next year, so it'll be for tax year 2018, collection year 2019. So basically, we feel there's an upswing in the sale of homes and all that, that you will not see decreases. You still may see decreases in these inner ring suburbs and all that where the values are not keeping pace. But in some of the suburbs and probably Walton Hills, we will see an increase. Now, I just received in that middle column the latest, this is our last year of this last update. There was a significant increase in the public utilities. It went from $31 million to $56 million. Basically, almost an 80% increase in value. And as Mrs. Terlowski said, when we were pushing the property tax millage last year, and we said, okay, I'll throw out a number, it would generate $500,000, we basically said that probably $180,000 or $200,000 would be paid by these five public utilities you see there, when their value was only $31 million. Now you've seen them jump to $56 million. So there will be an increase, and I'll get to the numbers, how much more property tax we would receive just by incorporating the inside millage on them. My whole point on this is that if we had a property tax, about a third of it would be paid by the public utilities. Now, the public utilities, as far as income tax, hardly pay us anything. The public utilities have with the state, they file centrally, and then the state disperses us some money. We get about a few thousand bucks from all these public utilities. And if anyone knows Walton Hills, you see, I think the public utility, especially these transmission lines, dominates this community. And that's why you have a value. And by the way, that second last column on the end basically shows you how much of the public utility value is part of the whole value of the whole for Walton Hills. And if I can find that right now, 36% of the value in Walton Hills is public utility. The only other highest one is Cuyahoga Heights. And everyone's going to say the sewer plant. No, it's, they also have big American Transmission.
Mito Steel.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Mito Steel, I think.
Exactly. But that's a business.
Yeah.
That's a business.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm
this
sorry.
Is,
you're right. You're just on the utilities. You're right.
So, and I don't know if anyone feels sorry for public utilities. I certainly don't. But they're enjoying it here in Walton Hills. They're enjoying it here because they hardly pay us any income tax, and our property tax is low. They barely pay us anything. Actually, of the 40-some thousand that you saw in the earlier sheet that they pay us, of everybody, businesses, residents, and public utilities, out of that 40,000, let me get my number here, it's about 17,000 of that 40,000. Which, by the way, any questions on any of this? Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. Out of the 40,000, they pay us about 12,400. Now, if we were to incorporate, if we were to go from 0.3 mils to 3.88, which doesn't have to be through the vote of the people. I heard some arguments last year when we proposed the people to pass the, I believe it was 5 mils. they said, wait a minute, why do you want us to pass the 5 mils when we'll pass it and you can still incorporate your 3.88? A few smart residents stated that. I don't think we would have.
We stated it too.
What did you say?
Just we threw it out there and...
So, based on we're right. We should incorporate it in our powers before we put it out to the public. As basically every other city and village in this county has used their inside millage. We just have it because we had Ford, we had all these companies here. Why tax the people when you have all this money coming in from these businesses? And again, no problem paying their sewer bills. Oh, go in their kitchen, let's go get their garbage too while we're at it, while we had all this money. But those days are gone. So, and all we're asking, if we incorporate our inside millage, and I say this earlier, going from 0.3 to 3.88, we're not even half of the average municipal millage in Tioga County. Okay, now, how much of that would mean to the village if we did go from 0.3 to 3.88? Based on the prior valuation on the public utilities, we would have went from the $41,000 we collect now to $542,000. So it would have been an increase of $500,000, going from 0.3 to 3.88. The residents would pay about $230,000, the commercial about $121,000, and the public utilities, it would be an increase of $148,000. That would be the breakdown of the $500,000. Well, based on this new valuation with the public utilities, going from the $31 million to the $56 million, the public utilities would increase not $148,000 as in the prior, it would increase to $200,000. We would generate $550,000 additional money. So it would be an additional $50,000 to $55,000 based on their new valuation that would be incorporated. The other thing is, and I mentioned this earlier, yes, next year there will be a new valuation, and okay, fine. If it goes up, yes, it'll be a marginal increase if we still have the old 0.3 mils. But if we do go to 3.88, that will also enhance the property tax income to the village, whatever the increase. Let's say it's a 10% increase. That would also increase by 10% the collections on top of that. So we're staring at a possibility of at least 550,000 additional monies that we would begin receiving in 2019. Now, if council's a little bit leery about incorporating this millage, you can restrict it. You can say, hey, this whole 550, as the mayor said earlier, we have no capital budget. We can't even issue out debt. We're really limited on issuing out debt if we want to do projects. Can we pay that mortgage down the road? It's tougher and tougher. We're up to $1.7, approaching $2 million in debt. You can restrict this new money just for street improvements or whatever. We have nothing feeding into our capital projects fund for vehicles, roads, and all that. So I think the residents would be open to your decision on increasing the inside millage if it's restricted for capital assets that they can see right out their door, that they actually do see these improvements. So if there's, or you can subdivide or say a portion of this goes to hiring more police or whatever. So you can do whatever you want, but I think it's time. I mean, we've weathered not only those businesses leaving, but we lost the state tax, the local government, the state. Yeah, John Kasich is going around the country saying he's balancing Ohio's budget, but he's starving.
We know how he budgeted. He took away from every community in the state.
They eliminated the personal property tax, which was a good thing for businesses. But then we got shut out on the Racino, the $2 million distribution. It all went to Northfield, even though we were probably entitled to one-third of that.
And how'd that happen, Mr. Nagallo?
Well, at the last minute, and again, council passes orders.
Because you were our fiscal officer at the time, and you know the facts, and you know what we went down there and testified, and you know all the details. Maybe you could just elaborate on the racetrack, because there's a lot of confusion with that.
Okay.
We have people that said they didn't know why we weren't getting money from the racetrack after we've said it since 2013. Yeah. So if you would clarify right now why we're not getting money from the racetrack.
Okay. All right. Basically, before the Racino was...
Talking to the microphone.
Sorry. I thought I'd talk loud enough.
No.
Okay.
I want it recorded.
All right. Basically, prior to the Racino being constructed there, the track. There's 7 racetracks in Ohio, and so the state was tired after they allowed the 4 casinos to be built. They were tired of those small sweepstake parlors being set up all over the place. So the state, the casinos were complaining about that. So the casinos gave the state $220 million. Each casino gave $55 million to the state and said, okay, wipe out these sweepstake parlors. You know, no, they can't be there, hurting our business and all that. But you can't allow the 7 racetracks in Ohio to establish racinos and only allow them to only have machines, no table games yet, because they still want to make a profit on it. So they gave the state, so every racino had the ability, racetrack had the ability to allow a racino being built. And out of that 200, each casino gave 55 million, so the state received 220 million. And of that, they were going to give each community $2 million of that 220. So they were going to give each community that had a racino built, you know, in their town, who had a racetrack, $2 million.
Associated with the racetrack.
Associated with the racetrack. So out of that 220, they put aside 14 million to be sent to the cities that had a racetrack. Unlike the casinos, there's gambling tax on the casinos, those 4 casinos, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toledo, Columbus. That's always coming to the cities. Money's always coming to the cities and the county. The city of Cleveland's getting it. The county's getting it. They can distribute it all over the place. And I think they just had a recent distribution and all that. But the racinos, all their gambling tax goes to the schools, just like the lottery. So none of the cities none of the cities or counties receive any of the money. It all goes to the schools. So in that, they said, okay, we're going to give each city $2 million that has a racetrack and that a racino is being built. Well, they didn't know that 2 of the racetracks are in 2 communities. So there's really 9 cities. The Walton Hills shares a track with Northfield, as everyone knows. And Thistledown, part of Thistledown, is in Warrensville Heights and North Randall. Thank you. So instead of saying, hey, you know what, all these cities, all 9, we'll increase it. Instead of 14 million, we'll divvy up 18 million. We'll give 2 million to Walton Hills, 2 million to Northfield. I believe it was the 2014 or 2015 budget.
At the beginning of 2014.
They inserted a pair, and unlike here, where we pass ordinances, they're going to be on one topic. If we're going to do something, we're going to, like a refuse ordinance, we can only do refuse. You can't put something else in there, like give the mayor an increase or something like that. What's that called?
Pork barrel.
You can't do that on local. But you can in the state and the federal. That's the problem with our government. They snuck in at the last minute. That
one of our legislators.
And 33% of the track is in Walton Hills. If the track is 50% or more in a community, they get the whole $2 million.
Our legislators allowed it.
Our legislator called our engineer, and she knew this as being former mayor of Walton Hills. She knew this. She knew the track was in our town. I think she knew that not all of the track was in our town, but a part of the track. And but she wanted to be sure, so she called our city engineer a few days before the vote and mentioned or asked what percent of the track is in Walton Hills? And
35%.
And 33 or 35%, anything, if it was 49, it would have been right. Happy music to that person's ears. And lo and behold, I think on June 29th, the state passes their budget on June 30th. On the last day, they inserted language that, again, if the track is more than 50% of the community, they get the whole $2 million. And we got totally shut out of that.
And we still get something from the Horsemen's Association every year. Not much, but that's been in since 1984.
Prior to that, different kind of wagering. We get $30,000 and Northfield gets $30,000. Split down the middle, it's shared 50-50. And the reason for that, and even the $2 million should have been split, the reason they give cities these monies is because of all the traffic headaches and all the general governmental services, police,
impact, yeah.
EMS. I mean, our police responds more to the Racino sometimes than the Northfield police. We've had incidents on that. So that's the whole deal. You try to relate the stress on the municipality services with that, and that's the whole purpose of splitting that money. But it didn't happen to us on the Racino. And I believe after the $2 million, the state also had additional distributions that, again, 100% went to Northfield.
Yes.
And we got shut out. So that's my story.
So we lost nothing. Thank you, state legislators. We went down and testified. Everybody remembers that.
I remember.
We wrote letters.
Yeah.
And we've had an open invitation to our state legislator to come here for 8 years now. Haven't seen him yet. We can't take comments from the audience, but we do what we're allowed to do legally. I don't want to debate
okay.
back.
Let Vic answer.
All right, go ahead, Vic.
No, Northfield Park is partially in Walton Hills. So they do pay a portion. The way, you know, there's a, when they prepare their federal tax return, they the way they split between Northfield and Walton Hills, and a part of it's in Macedonia. They have part of their,
6%.
Not the track,
yeah.
but some of their land is over there. They'll look at all their payroll. Where's their payroll? Most of the payroll's in the grandstand, in those offices, which are in Northfield. So 100% of that. There's three allocation methods. The payroll, the sales, 100% are basically there, and the land. And so that's why we get a maybe less than a few, 2 or 3% of their net profit that they would pay us based on those three factors. So that's all we get from them on the income tax. Hardly any of the employees are, there was that print shop over there. We did get some little morsel there, I guess.
That's the Transpotter building. Now they're running.
Right, and yeah, that was way back when yeah, so that's nothing. Nothing.
Nothing basically.
Okay. Is there any questions from the council members about anything that was just discussed? I know I don't want you to make a decision tonight on the inside millage, but I want you to have the information.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Vic, with all of this with the public utilities and seeing that Cleveland Electric Illuminating Company is the largest one, how does all of these numbers change with the potential of that 87 acres being sold?
This value is not on the land.
Okay.
It's all on their
strictly the lines
above the land, all
transmission lines,
okay. and all that. There's no actually there was a column here for land. It was all zeros, but to squeeze this in.
Okay.
And if you want the full copy, I have that. But I just wanted to put both of these in there. So yeah, this is public utility. That's why they call it public utility tangible.
So it's just kind of like the air around.
It's all their
yeah.
structure.
Yeah.
All their
like
lines.
Real estate. Yeah. Oh.
And the state of Ohio assesses this value.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, they don't want all 600 or 88 counties assessing it. It's to be economic.
Perfect. Yeah, no, that's why I was just wondering, because it didn't say specifically, you know, land or not. That's why. Thank you.
I would estimate with the 87 acres, they may give us $1,800 a year. Because 18 times an acre.
Well, I don't know if there was any structures on that land.
I'm just saying we don't make any money at all on that.
There's no structures
yeah,
on
that. And I didn't know that it wasn't part of the land that they owned. It doesn't make sense.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Just one quick comment about the inside millage and that. And I understand. We've talked about that for years and stuff. Don and I, as he mentioned, we talked today, and we talked about that a little bit, just talking between ourselves. I wouldn't hesitate to raise the inside millage tomorrow if it meant keeping us out of bankruptcy. I'm not going to be the guy who sat here and let the village go bankrupt. I'm not going to do that. But last year, we had what I consider a clear mandate from the residents, who we also have to balance our decision-making with, who we represent, to do what we can with the money that we already have coming in. They did not want us raising their taxes. Therefore, we all have a lot to digest this week with this that's presented to us and everything. We don't have money for, as we said, for roads, for capital projects and that. But there are still things I consider in this budget that I need to go over through a fine-tooth comb, and I'm not going to sit here and say we need, you know, we need to balance this budget. I'm going to say that, but I'm going to come up with ideas too, and not just give lip service to everybody. If balancing the budget means getting rid of people, getting rid of employees, that's where our biggest bang is going to be. There is still some fluff. I keep picking on REC. I don't mean to pick on REC, but there are things that a lot of people, a lot of residents don't use. Some do. Some use religiously, like the rides, the bus trips, things like that. But all that costs us money. And as far as I'm concerned, the people who put us here told us to do this without raising the taxes. I'm going to try to do that without raising the taxes. And I'm going to try to do that as much as to give us some cushion where we can do some capital projects. We desperately need the road out here in front of the Marathon station is falling apart, literally falling apart. And we already talked about Dunham. So we need money for that. If it means taking the service department down to three people or two people, you know, taking REC down to a couple of people just to do basic stuff, office staff, that's where, unfortunately, we're going to get our biggest bang for the buck. But that's what the people wanted. So that's where I'm sitting with this. I'm hoping I'm going to see some magic in this thing that you gave us tonight, this starting tomorrow when I review this, start looking at this. Again, I'll vote tomorrow to raise inside millage to save the village from going bankrupt. I would much rather have people yell at me for doing that than yell at me for sitting here and doing nothing and letting this village go bankrupt. Thank you.
Any other comments, council members?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Cumberland.
Just to get back to Mr. Nagallo and the inside millage. Besides the cost to the residents, which none of us want to pay any more money, we all know that, the concern of this council every time we talk about the inside millage is trying to keep Walton Hills attracted to businesses, because that is the answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can cut staff, we can do that, but if the village becomes not a viable place to live, it just spirals down. We all know that. It's yep. Just the way it is, and that's why it's such a thing.
Finally.
So what would be the impact if we just, let's look at this inside millage, not that the residents aren't a concern, they're definitely a concern, but if we were to go with inside millage, what does that, you think that would change, and I think that's something we need to talk to Mr. Smerigan on too, who does our economic development, and represents quite a few communities in our area and has done a great job, of course, like with Beechwood stuff, and see what kind of, how that would affect our economic development. I mean, it doesn't have to be discussed now. Just, I think that's part of the big decision. I know that's something we always discuss, because if we, you know, we had a business owner tonight make a statement, and it's not about that. Maybe if there's some truth to that, that businesses aren't coming, and we certainly don't want to make it any worse. We know they're paying the lowest property tax in the county, so we know we can't do it. You know, that's a good thing. But as far as, you know, raising it, you know, would we still? So that's where I need to know on that. I mean, the impact to our businesses would be a big part of that discussion, besides the impact to the residents and what that would do as far as attracting more businesses. Because the bottom line is, we have to get Ford developed, and that's not up to us. It's up to Ford to put it on the market and us just give them the tools. People approach me all the time and say, Don, what are you guys doing with Ford? You know, I wish we had that control.
Yeah.
But we don't. All we can do is give them the tools and keep telling them, hey, if you get a buyer, we'll work with them. We don't own the property. They can sit on that property forever. They took no government bailout, so there's the government has less leverage. The government was able to push Chrysler, they were able to push Chevy because they borrowed money for it from them. So they were able to push those. Ford owes the government no money. They took no money for the bailout. So the bottom line is we all know that. We have to continue to get businesses there because that's what pays your bills. Mm-hmm. So I think, Vic, we need to kind of put something together because I'm not, you know how I feel about it. I'm not for the inside millage, but I'm one person representing the residents too. So, but the important part to me is the economic development part, how that would affect,
if I may,
our businesses.
Yes, Mr.
I think you made a comment about how the city's starting to crumble. And so that doesn't make it more attractive. So
right, I agree. It's a double-edged sword.
We used to say in finance, sometimes you got to spend money to make money.
Right. Well, that, Mr. Mayor, and that's kind of the position where the mayor talked about that Northfield Road, the area by Carr Brothers and stuff, which we're really focusing on the cleanup, because a lot of businesses have told us, the Crick Road area, we might put in an office building, but it's got to be a little more attractive. Business people, believe it or not, don't want to drive their car and get dust on it. It might sound petty, but it's true. Why does Independence do so well on Rockside Road? Because you're in a nice building, you got any restaurant you want, you can entertain people. We have that opportunity now with the Roxino for companies that come in, maybe put an office building because they have an entertainment venue there. And that's part of business is entertaining, big business. The decisions are made at lunch.
Agreed.
And we have that opportunity now, but at the same time, we've got to clean it up. And so, Vic, you're right. It's they'll maybe pay more if it's nicer too. So, but I just think for our next discussion, that's an important.
And if you ride to Industrial Parkway, you'll see that road. You may need shocks after going down that.
No,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Gloria.
Can you tell me how many vacant buildings we do have in the village?
We have 3 on record. 2 are under contract. There's probably a total of 5 that I know of. The one at the very end of Crick Road where it turns into Bedford by Iopolo, that building's been condemned and the county's in a foreclosure on that one. It's 7100 Crick Road, I believe it is. That particular building is Valtrez is wanting to purchase it. It is contaminated. It was an anodizing business there. That building hasn't produced for our village in almost 18 years. There was a lot of makeshift jobs out of there. It's a family-owned trust fund type building. It's contaminated, that particular building. There's an old Akron battery on West Crick Road. It's a blue metal building. It's about 1,500 square foot. It has an acre lot with it almost. I think it's 7/8 of an acre. Walton Plastics negotiated and purchased that. That building is where, when we redo that road, they would like to use that building for access onto their property. Walton Plastics has already filled up the old metal stamping building that was out there on Northfield Road. If you remember, they went to Zoning Board of Appeals and they tied the two buildings together to have 2 separate addresses, one on Northfield, one on Hannah Parkway. And they have now expanded into Twinsburg. We were negotiating a deal with Manaway Manufacturing. Steve Wick, the owner of everything, he owns 7 of those buildings. Him and I worked very closely through the Christmas months, and Manaway is just not built for, they have to have a FDA approved because of food products and medication products. They make belt lines. So they need a lot of floor space because it's done on a conveyor belt type system. So Manaway is still off the table for them, so they bought a building in Twinsburg. Now, they're just creating new jobs. They're not taking any jobs from Walton Hills, but they're running 7 days a week, 3 shifts. So when I became mayor, they were making a little over $85,000 a year in income tax to our village. They're almost at $212,000. So these are growths that we talk about all the time. Manaway is under Jobs Ohio. They won't be out of here till the end of May, possibly June. Manaway is right now with people talking about their facility, but it's very difficult to get in there and do the, you have to understand the square footage, how much per square footage, and the column spacing, And if a manufacturing company comes in, they need room for beams and they need room for overhead hoist and things of that nature. So the building is built, a lot of warehousing and not so much for manufacturing, but it can be modified and there is room there to grow that. So we proved that with Manaway when we were offering an 85% abatement. Indigo Windows is looking at a very large expansion. They put a real nice heating oven in there. That's the old Union Hall, and they're talking about taking that whole 17 acres between the two lots, tying them together under one consolidation. That's supposed to come to my planning commission probably in September or October. And they made a substantial investment, almost $14 million in a special type furnace that tempers the glass. Those the company that gave us the mini blinds in between all the glass. They're the only mini blinds in the United States of America. They have a patent on that. Our house furniture, the smaller building, is now being occupied and run by Berger Trucking Company, which is a subsidiary of our house. They do the transportation for our house, but it's under, for tax reasons, under a different tax ID. Our house furniture, the larger building, which is empty, is under consideration of a contract. I've talked to the owner, I've talked to the real estates, and I've talked to the potential purchaser of that building. I know Brian knows some of the language, but I can't say it publicly how many employees or anything like that, but that's a substantial, that's a 277,000 square foot building. Recently, I just had a conversation with Michael Brandt. He's the CEO of Smith & Obie. Mary knows it because she made that engagement, and he's very pleased to let us know that he's looking at expansion. So theoretically, on Jobs Ohio and Cleveland Partners, we have three empty buildings in the village of Walton Hills. Two are under contract. For some reason, we hear this 40 buildings empty. For some reason, we hear this misinformation. I have no problem driving everybody around the village in a bus and showing you each business and tell you who the owner is and what their operation is. I've done that, have I not, Mary?
Yes, you have.
Okay. So I have no problem. I am very in touch and very aware of everything that's going on in our village.
So that is our lifeblood for the community, is the jobs. And there isn't that many places where we can put somebody. They're already filled.
Well, that's why the 87 acres is very crucial. And the coolest property on Dunham Road is very crucial. Mm-hmm. Those are potentials, and that's why you gave us the overlay zoning, so we have that opportunity in front of us. And I am very confident that that's going to start conversations here in less than 3 months. And it will take a year to get utilities back there and cut roads. But that's all a process. Everybody has to understand that. I can tell you that the Gospel House has been appraised. All 20 acres. I can tell you the Hungarian Church has been appraised. 19.7 acres. All these businesses are ready to go. We just need the right dancing partners. Mm-hmm. And it's happening. We projected this. We projected all this. Look at Todd Industry. Now there's a new building in there. MasTec told me they have 25 employees by the end of March. They hope to go to 125 by next year, by the end of 19. I'm embracing it. They're looking for employment. Anybody that wants to go to work there?
With the 3.80 millage, it would bring $550,000. That's a drop in a bucket. Dunham Road Hill is a million. That's half of that. I mean, and there's so many other things that need to be done. I mean, as far as the recreation goes, taking out a recreation for the rides and the trips, that's a minimal amount. That's not going to make any difference for what amount of money that we need. We have to find some way, and you did an excellent job, the things that you spoke about before, that selling the house, the service garage, things like that. But that's only going to let us float for a while again. You know, when these other things start cropping up, something's got to be done. And if we didn't have the JED and $400,000 that you were the creator of that, we'd be so far down, we might as well, you know, join up with Valley View and not be Walton Hills anymore. We can only do so much, and we've cut back and cut back, and we're only right now just saying things that all the other communities do with the trash and things like that. It's not something that we just dreamed up. It's other communities are already doing these things. Walton Hills is a beautiful place to live, and that's the way we should keep it, a beautiful place. If we want to entice businesses, we need to do that, and cleaning up Northfield Road, when you don't see that cement and stuff all over the streets and that, then that's going to help over in that area over there. But it's a small price to pay. If you could see this paper and the difference from these other communities, it's a no-brainer, really. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the audience or from the council? Yes,
Mayor. Just two things. One real quick. What the business is, and I know that lady came up with whatever she was talking about with, you know, we're unbusiness friendly and all that stuff. But I'm wondering, and I know you've met with businesses a lot of times before, and you've had had businesses come across the street here to the community room and all that stuff. And is there a way we can have maybe a different format, some sort of a business roundtable with companies, just invite them in and basically a beat us up type of session? You know, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What can we do better and how? And maybe there is something that we're missing somewhere. I don't know. Maybe there's something we're not, but they might come up with an idea that might spark something, you know. It's just a thought, just to get conversation going and that. And also, I know Gloria, I understand that, you know, with the rack and all that stuff. It's very minimal, and I understand that. And I have to reconcile in my own mind, how do I tell a resident, yeah, I voted to increase your taxes, but I still have this stuff. With tempering that with what Don said, that, you know, we still have to be a viable living community with that offers things, you know. I just have to write, and this is a working session, so I'm spouting off. I just have to reconcile all of that in my mind as to how I proceed and how we proceed in this thing, knowing that we cannot. We as of last year, we were less than $1 million in the bank of unencumbered funds, and we cannot go any lower. We know that for a fact. So thank you. That's where I'm at with it.
Okay. Any other comments, council members?
Mr. Mayor, just one real quick. We did have, no, because this is a good thing.
I'm just laughing.
I know. But with that point, we have had, and you remember, it's been a few years. We had a business roundtable under your leadership.
I've had four, yes.
Yeah, and the last one we had across the street, just because some people say, but we have had those. Mm-hmm. Some have been well attended, and some haven't. But I just wanted to make that underneath, under you as a mayor, we have had.
We've had four. What I'm trying to do now is, in the summer, I'm working with Kimball, who does our trash removal. It's just preliminary, and I'm seeing if we could host a meeting with all the businesses to have Kimball take care of all their trash removal. And that would save them substantially, because you got the truck in town, and it would be eventually beneficial to the businesses. And if that's the relationship that we could make happen, then they could save money, and we could actually ask them to redirect some of that money towards beautification in front of the buildings. That's my goal. MasTec came in, and they called me, and he says, we need a recycling, because we have a lot of plastic components, and we just throw them away, and we'd like a recycling. I called Kimball. They had a truck there the next day, one in boxes, you know. And so that relationship's already started. So the gentleman I work with, Don Johnson from Kimball, we're negotiating right now, trying to get everybody to come up with a number and hardcore numbers, you know, because some companies do it twice a week, some companies do it once a week. Mm-hmm. So we have to see what that is. And that could save them an additional $10,000, $20,000. We don't know. We have to see what that would equate to.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
On the 27th, you're going to have the town hall meeting. Maybe if you send a letter to the businesses in town letting them know we're having this, you're having this town hall meeting, and let them see the figures too, the businesses, to see what's going on here. And maybe they can, you know, maybe they'll get the realistic of what's going on. They only, you know, they have tunnel vision. They only know their own business. They don't know the big scope of everything. So maybe that would be something that they would, you know, attend. And it's only whatever the postage is to send them a letter and you're invited. You know, we want to hear from you too, you know.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Can we have a motion for adjournment of tonight's meeting, please?
I guess I was looking at me. Mr. Mayor,
yes,
I'd like to make a motion to excuse us all. Adjourn.
Excuse yourself.
See, I'm talked out. Adjourn to March 6, 2018, Committee of the Whole meeting of 2018 at 7:39.
Second.
Second by Gloria Chulowski. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, vote on the motion, please.
Councilperson Linville.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Terlaski.
Yes.
Holograph.
Yes.
Spitznagel.
Yes.
Thank you, council member. Thank you, residents. Meeting adjourned at 7:39 p.m.